Good day, and welcome to the quarterly All-EN call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Adele Barr. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and again, welcome everyone. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us for the first All-EN quarterly call of 2020. Before I hand this over, I wanted to speak a little bit to what you have so far experienced. This is a new year, and with new year, sometimes there's changes. And so for our call, we have a slight change. We've switched over from our previous platform of ReadyTalk onto Global Meet. So by the looks of the numbers, I do see that we have quite a few folks that have logged on. So far, so good with the new platform. What I did want to do was just take a few moments of this call just to talk about the different features. And I always say it's almost like a cell phone. Once you upgrade your cell phone, the cell phone basically is the same. There's just little things that are different, and I'm hoping it's the same for this, and it's hopefully a very seamless transition. Okay, so when you actually logged on, what you were able to see was this section. On the left-hand side, you have a square box that lets you know what number to dial in. It provided you the phone number, and it provided you the conference ID so that in the event that you didn't have it, it was available for you there. It let you know the title of the call. And here is this new feature that you will see is ask a question. I know we were all used to having the public chat where everybody chat and said, hi, welcome. We are trying to streamline so that we can focus on our presentation. Well, this feature will do this ask a question here on the left-hand side is present a question to the folks here at Social Security and for TPM. So what we will do is we will review your question and we will answer it. So what you would do is you would type in your question, as you see there, how do questions with Global Meet? I believe that's what I see there. And then you would click on send, and then you should see a box that looks like this, and it'll let you know that your question has been successfully submitted. You would not be able to see that, as I indicated, and the public would not be able to see that. It actually comes directly to us here at Social Security and at TPM. And so then you will be able to close that by clicking on that box right there. And then here you can see total answered questions. And you can see at the moment that red arrow is pointing one. And you can always click here, and then you will be able to see that question. You see the question and the response once that has been answered. And when we post them publicly, everyone will be able to see those questions as well, simply by clicking on that section right there. Okay, so you see that one question is answered. So if we go on to the next slide, with this button here, you should be able to close that section, or actually you're going to pop it out. Go ahead and go to the next slide for me. So it pops out all the questions that you can have here. And for those folks who have the capability of having dual screens, you can actually then enjoy the slides on the left-hand side or the right side and move this over to another screen so you can have the running questions that way. And, of course, then you can always just close this out. And if by chance you are wondering where did this go, we all sometimes make a mistake and click on something and did not intend to, then you can always click this button here, and it should reopen the box for you. So if you would go to the next slide for me. And there it appears. So it's not completely gone. And the other features that we want to be able to show and share is how you can enjoy the full screen. Top right-hand corner, you see the red arrow pointing to the expand button. And at this point, now your chat has gone away. Not your chat necessarily, but your ask a question has gone away, and you can have here the full version of this. But if you needed to, again, see the questions, you simply click again, top right-hand corner, and then it can then come down to regular size, and you see this here on the left-hand side. So I believe basically that is the gist of it, but we do have, like I said, with changes, we have something exciting. Previously, we were not able to click on links that were on the slides, and with Global Meet, yes, we will be able to click on those particular links and take you to it. So please enjoy that, and we thank you so much, and hopefully this new year in Global Meet will be a great one for us. So I think that was enough of me. I hope I didn't miss anything, but I'm sure you can always ask a question, and we can address that. So with that said, I will hand it over to Rob.
Thank you, Raquel. Appreciate that. Good afternoon, everyone, and or good morning. Welcome to our quarterly All-EN call. We're glad you could take time to be with us. I've got a bunch of things to cover, so bear with me more than usual. First, welcome to all of our ENs dialing in and also our new ENs. On the agenda, we have SSA staffing changes, and I guess it's become entrenched in our agenda because we change staff so much, but I don't think we actually have anything to discuss in regards, except for Katie, who's sitting next to me and is our new VR manager, branch chief, and we want to welcome Katie into that role. We're glad to have Katie step in. She has a lot of program knowledge and expertise. We will miss her extensive resources through our systems work and our finances work, but also she's also handling EN payments as well. Thank you, Kara, for that. So she's wearing multiple hats. We will continue to engage Katie as much as possible. We're happy to have her take over management of the VR team. So welcome aboard in your new role, Katie. Thank you for stepping in. Moving into some other news, I want to talk a bit about the language included in the FY 2021. So this would be next fiscal year, starting October 1st, going through the following year, September 30 of 2021. So this is what the budget. This is the budget that the president sends to Congress, asking for a variety of things and expenditure levels and so forth. And included in that budget request is a legislative proposal to transfer the Ticket to Work program to the Department of Labor's Employment Training Administration, otherwise known as ETA. The budget proposal directs the Office of Disability Employment Policy, otherwise known as ODEP, within the Department of Labor to provide policy analysis and guidance on the transfer. The rationale for the proposal is that the Ticket to Work program falls outside of SSA's core mission of administering the OSDI and SSI programs and duplicates administrative structures and services available at the state and local level. The proposal language states that this will streamline the employment service delivery to SSDI beneficiaries and SSI recipients who want to work. Now, it's important to note we do not have a time frame to share with you in terms of any activities occurring in the foreseeable future that would impact EN operations in any way. Discussions between SSA and Department of Labor are in the very early stages, and all current programmatic activities for Ticket to Work will be administered and will continue uninterrupted, and we will communicate with you any news pertaining to this proposal at the appropriate time. So again, I want to emphasize this is in the President's proposed budget. In the meantime, we are engaged with Department of Labor to talk about. There are a lot of details that need to be figured out as far as this goes. Again, more information to come, but we are continuing with the program as is, and we'll keep you updated
on how this fleshes out in the budget, the finalized budget that Congress passes. One other, I think, important note for you to know is that the FY21, the President's budget, also includes a proposal to enhance work and earnings opportunities for people with disabilities. This proposal would replace substantial gainful activity evaluation and related work incentives and program rules with an income-based evaluation of SSDI beneficiaries' post-entitlement earnings. The new system would offset SSDI benefits based on a four-tiered structure that is simpler for beneficiaries to understand and for SSA to administer. The specific details of the proposal, such as earnings levels for each tier, are still being discussed. And again, this is in the proposed budget. We will see what happens as Congress takes further action to keep you posted on that item as well. So those are the two items we wanted to mention in the President's FY21 budget. I want to give you an update briefly on a couple of other activities. First, starting with the Employment Support Summit, which occurred last summer. We have an array of follow-up activities that have come out of the summit, and I wanted to give you an update on those activities. First of all, the summary report is being finalized as we speak. It has gone through multiple layers of review at the executive level and has been approved for release. So we will have that out to you shortly for review. The second item that I wanted to mention in regards to the summit is that we are currently working with operations. Ann Robert is our operations lead executive, and we have been working with her closely to complete a communication plan which would help align communication strategies between the Ticket to Work program and the Office of Employment Support, as well as our operations components and our OPSOS component, which is the lead for operations within SSA. So we're working on edits to that plan right now. We're also working on some tweaks to our website that would provide links to our area work incentives coordinators so that folks, service providers, could go to the Your Ticket to Work website and be able to access that information to reach out to their local AWIC contacts for any issues pertaining to services that they're providing to their beneficiaries. So that covers the summit activities. I wanted to transition into a couple other activities, and this is somewhat summit-related, but in regards to EN marketing activities and discussions that we've had in regards to expanding these efforts, we are planning on having a call on March 18th. This is tentative. We will send this to you, to those ENs that are currently in what we call the marketing pilot. And any ENs that are interested in participating, we will share with you shortly a email site for you to send your interest in participating in the, what we have been calling the marketing pilot, but are now moving forward. This will become an integrated part of our business process. So what that means is the pilot period for this has ended, that the marketing activities where we provide limited marketing information to employment networks who then conduct outreach to beneficiaries based on the criteria that they have requested and either send them a letter or a call or a robocall. Currently, we are going to solicit interest among ENs that are interested in participating in this marketing business process. And for those who are interested in more information about participating in our marketing business process, you can send an email to data, D-A-T-A, dot marketing, dot P-O-C, at ssa.gov. And I think we'll put that on the screen. Is that correct, Adele?
With our new, we should be able to upload sometime during the presentation.
Okay.
And if they do not, if we're not able to do that during this presentation, we'll certainly have it posted for them in the recap.
All right, great. So again, I'll give it to you again. It's data, D-A-T-A dot marketing dot P-O-C at ssa.gov. So we're planning on a call for March 18th, 2:30 p.m. to 3:30 to talk about updates in regards to the marketing efforts for those ENs currently participating. Some of the things we're going to talk about is the opportunity to expand the number of files that they receive or increase their outreach to beneficiaries. The addition of text messaging functionality has been approved, and we will discuss that further as well, and some other updates that we will share at that time. So I just wanted to mention that to you for you to go ahead and put that on your calendars and be ready for that, and we'll send out some additional information to you shortly.
And yes, Rob, it's on the screen.
It's on the screen. So there you go. Fantastic. Transitioning now into their, and speaking of transition, EN service duties are being transitioned to TPM. We will be engaged with TPM to have some of the business processes that we've been involved in internally with greater TPM participation. And really, I think the bulk of that is going to be around EN services and expanding the input among TPM staff to help us bolster our EN services that we provide to resolve issues that ENs are having, answer questions, and so forth. Our staff will continue to provide oversight of this process and guidance and answer questions as needed. This should be a seamless transition for you. Our goal is to enhance services, particularly in lieu of the attrition we've experienced due to staffing losses within SSA and our hiring freeze that we've been engaged with for some time now. So we want to make sure that you're getting the best service possible, and we're looking forward to that, and we'll have more information to share with you. We're looking to make that transition over the next few weeks. Additionally, and man, I'm talking a lot today. So additionally, I want to give you an update on EN Cloud Storage. We have previously reached out to ENs to ask those of you who are engaged in cloud storage to get some numbers around that and for us to get some programmatic guidance. We did get programmatic guidance from our system security folks. We are working to update our documents, particularly our ticket program agreements, with some language from our general counsel that would give specific guidance on the use of cloud-based storage. We're in the process of making those changes now. We will be in communication with you when we are ready to release the revised ticket program agreements. But for folks that are using cloud-based storage, this will help you understand what we need or what the requirements are from SSA for the use of that platform. And I'm going to leave it at that. I think we'll have some folks talk a little bit later about outreach for social media activities among our participating ENs to share with us. And I'll stop there and turn it back over to you, Adele.
Thanks, Rob. And we always love to hear from you, so that's not a problem.
You heard a lot today.
I'd much rather hear from you than from me. Okay, so we're going to go on to the section where we're going to talk about ENs with multiple business models. And Kara, if you can help us out with that.
Sure. Good afternoon. So on February 13th, everybody received a blast about ENs who are operating under multiple business models. It gave instructions for steps for you to take if services provided to your ticket holder are changing or not changing. I'll just go over those very quickly. If the services are changing, then you must create a new IWP. And as you know, that must be done by a suitable person. The new IWP should include your new DUNS number, the new model, and then you must obtain a signature from both you and the ticket holder. But if the services that you're providing to that ticket holder are not changing, you can amend the current IWP and just use put in there the new DUNS number and the new model, and then you should initial it with all the changes. The ticket holder is not required to initial that since their services will not change. And in the blast, it gave you things like the date. You know, you put in the date and the reference from in your notes from old DUNS to new DUNS. Just make sure your notes are very clear and you document everything. And then when you are ready to transfer your ticket over to from the existing DUNS to the new DUNS, you should securely send the list of ticket holder SSNs using the template that was attached to the blast to enservice@ssa.gov. So that should be pretty seamless. Okay, and I'm going to talk about some updates we have now. So the 2020 payment amounts came out. For milestones, the new rate is $1,485. For phase two and outcomes for a Title II beneficiary, it is $445. And for Title 16, it is $253. If you operate under the outcome-only model, the rate is $472. So, and that is up on the website. Is that
awesome.
Correct?
Actually, we have the link right here.
Fabulous.
So everyone can click on it and save that. Awesome.
Okay. So I'm going to move on to A4 and a security awareness. So everybody should have received that. Hopefully most of those are done. They are due this Friday, February 28th. Every year we terminate ENs for noncompliance of those. It's really easy to do, so please make sure you get that in by this Friday so your EN is not listed as not compliant. If you have not turned it in by Friday, your EN will be placed on hold for assignments and payments, and then we will go through those and possible termination. So please remember to do that. When you have new employees within within your EN, please make sure you report that to enservice@ssa.gov. We find all the time that there's personnel changes, and that's why you didn't do your A4. That's why something wasn't updated, and it's in your TPA to send that to us immediately. So please make sure you do that. And also make sure that you are keeping up with your SAM registration. We do terminate ENs for that. We just did that this week. We terminated one for not being compliant with that. We have an EN, what we call an EN enhancement project. And basically what that means is we are making sure, am I going too fast?
Oh, we got it.
Sorry. We are making sure that ENs are staying in compliance with the TPA. So last year, this is all under Part 3, Section 9. Last year, we went through those ENs who don't have any tickets. So it says in your TPA that after 1 year, you must have tickets assigned. So we went through and we worked with those ENs. Some now have tickets assigned, and some we have terminated. So, you know, the purpose of the program is to get those tickets assigned, help those beneficiaries get back to work, and then you get paid. So we did that last year. This week, and we'll continue to do that. This week we're contacting the ENs that also don't have payments, because your TPA also says after the second year, you must have at least 3 payments. We're going to start with the ones that have no payments, and we'll work our way up eventually. This is an ongoing process, so you may be contacted by somebody at SSA within the next several weeks about your EN not having payments, and, you know, they'll give you what we expect out of you and work with you, so make sure you respond to them timely. Also, site visits are starting. Our first one is scheduled for March 31st. If you get you'll get an email notification from us. Please respond to that notification within 5 days to make sure the dates are okay. It lets you know what we're expecting out of the site visit. We're going to about, our budget was cut severely this year, so we're only going to about 40 ENs this year. But if you guys have any questions about that, please let us know. And when you get an email notification, you know, please respond and ask any questions that you have. And those are real, for those of you who have not had a site visit, it's really about us helping you as much as us finding out about your business.
And I would just add, similar to EN enhancement, is our goal with EN enhancement is to help your organization get active, become active, you know, get any training necessary for your staff. That's what we're here for. We want to see folks be successful in the program. We want to see folks grow the number of clients that they're serving and so forth. And we can happily share our link for training. If your organization needs training, or if you otherwise need assistance from us in any way, shape, or form, reach out to us and let us know.
Right. So before it gets to the point where we're contacting you, you should contact us to say, listen, I'm having trouble, you know, with payments, assignments, whatever it happens to be, and we can help you out with that.
And by and large, it's generally with staffing attrition and losses that we see, whether it's site visit or EN enhancement and so forth. So if you're going through this, you know, make sure you're in touch with us. Let us know how we can help get your folks on.
Awesome. That is wonderful dialogue. That's extremely helpful. So I will actually now, let's have Jamie speak about some outreach updates. Jamie, on the line?
Thanks so much, Adele. Hi, everyone. This is Jamie Pendergrass. I'm the Program Outreach Manager at TPM. And as Adele mentioned, I'm going to give you some information about what we've been working on and some things to expect in the future. The first thing I'd like to talk about is that we're excited to announce our new Ticket to Work logo. We launched the logo back in December in conjunction with the Ticket Program Anniversary, and we encourage you all to begin using it on your websites and in your marketing materials. I've provided the links to our brand guidelines and the logo graphic files in this presentation, and they're also available online in the Service Provider Toolkit. So we are very happy with the new logo and hope you all appreciate it and like it as well. During the last All-EN call, we talked a little bit about our Facebook advertising campaign, and I did want to give an update on that as well. I'm very happy to report that this effort has far exceeded even our most ambitious goals. We wanted to increase both our reach, which is the number of people who saw our posts, and our engagement, which is the number of people who commented, liked, or shared, or followed our Facebook page. And we actually, throughout the course of this campaign, have doubled the number of followers on our Facebook page from 26,000 to 58,000 Facebook followers. And that campaign is still underway. We're still seeing a lot of new followers and likes on Facebook. And in addition to that, I just wanted to share an update with you about where we are in terms of followers on all of our accounts. So on this slide, you'll see that we have the 58,000 on Facebook, 5,000 on Twitter, 2,600 on YouTube, and 475 on LinkedIn, and all of those outreach channels are very active. As Rob mentioned a little bit earlier, we're now able to share some of your social media and website content on our Choose Work social media channels, so you can have the opportunity to reach those 58,000 people on Facebook. and that would result in your post getting even more visibility. We currently follow some of you on social media, but we don't have a way of knowing everyone's social media handles. So if you do want us to follow you and share your information, we ask that you let us know. And you can do this by sending an email to socialmedia@chooseworks.ssa.gov. In that email, if you just send your Facebook or Twitter name or whatever you'd like us to follow, that would be fine. And you can also send us more specific content, such as an upcoming event or a story that you recently published. But just as a reminder, this content does require a review before we can post, and we need a little bit of notice, so we ask that you send it about 1 to 2 weeks prior to anything you'd like, to the time of anything you would like to be promoted. And as an additional reminder, we're also not allowed to share anything that includes PII. So if you have a story that you publish that has somebody's first and last name in it or other PII, we unfortunately wouldn't be able to share that type of information. Moving on to the next slide, slide 30, I did want to give an update on our progress in our publishing short articles and broadcasting radio spots about the program through a syndicated news release called NAPS. Since August, we've published 11 articles, and they've generated almost 37,000 print articles in newspapers around the country with a potential readership of more than 43 million and over 580 million combined unique views per month. Also, since August, we've broadcast 7. These radio spots were broadcast more than 2,000 times with an audience of 196 million people. If you'd like to check out the articles, you can go to www.napsnet.com, which is on your screen, and select Government News under Article Categories. And these articles are basic overviews about the program. We do share some information about different success stories, new resources, our webinars, and we are continuing with that initiative in 2020. Our next slide talks about some of our new resources, slide 31. Since our last call, we've released a couple new resources. Our new trial work period fact sheet explains this work incentive in an easy-to-understand way. And our new Find a Job webpage connects people with disabilities to resources where they can find job openings or other information on their own, while also encouraging them to connect with a Ticket to Work service provider. We ask you to share these new resources with your clients. And if you need any social media content, I will tell you in a couple slides how you can get that to me or how you can contact me, and I'll be happy to send you some sample social media posts. We also wanted to address today, there's been a number of Social Security scam calls. So these are folks who are calling people and pretending to be Social Security employees and then threatening them, asking them for money. And we just wanted to address this issue kind of head on. And in order to inform ticket holders, we published a blog post about the scam calls and what to do if you receive a scam call. And we do ask that you share this with your ticket holders. It certainly doesn't only affect them. I've gotten the calls myself. So this just lets anyone know what they can do if they receive a scam call and what might indicate a call as being a scam. Slide 33 talks about our next WISE webinar, which is actually tomorrow from 3 to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. The topic is choosing a service provider that's right for you. Ray Cibula of Cornell University will present information about the different types of ticket program service providers and how to find the one that's right for the ticket holder. If you'd like to register, you can do so online at chooseworks.ssa.gov/WISE. And if you miss a webinar, you can also view it online at WISE On Demand, and tomorrow's webinar will be available within 2 weeks after the event. I do want to thank everyone who takes the time to share the WISE events on social media. We really appreciate that, and we do ask that other folks start sharing as well. The WISE webinars are a really good way for people to get a lot of information in a large group and then take some next steps and contact one of you. And we do provide those next steps throughout the webinar and encourage them to locate a service provider using the Find Help tool. As I mentioned on the last few slides, I've encouraged you to share our new resources and events via social media, and I would be happy to provide some sample social media language, and you can reach out to me at socialmedia@choosework.ssa.gov. Slide 34 talks a little bit about success stories. We will be publishing our next success story in March, but we're always looking for new candidates. And these stories have a tremendous impact as they talk about a real person succeeding through the program and reach out to others who may not be sure if they can gain financial independence through the Ticket to Work program or through employment in general. And these stories are among our most popular features. We can't produce them without you. We do need your help. We depend on you to refer successful beneficiaries to us. So please think about whether you have possible candidates to star in these features. We also recently started writing a new series called Stepping Stones. As many of you know, our success story candidates have to have achieved a level of employment at which they are no longer receiving benefits. These Stepping Stones articles actually look at individuals who aren't at that level quite yet, but they have achieved some milestone. Maybe they used a work incentive or achieved some non-monetary goal like college graduation and are on the path towards work. Our intent with these is to recognize that the road is not always straight, and it's important to celebrate the milestones along the way. We did publish one about Chris in September, and he's available on our Success Stories website. And Pat Van Nelson talked a little bit about it during the last call. But if you have a possible candidate for either type of success story, again, we would love to hear from you. And you can send them to stories@choosework.ssa.gov. Slide 35 is my last slide, and this just gives you all the information on where we are on social media. I won't read all the links, but they are clickable and on your screen. And we do encourage you to follow us for updates on the program, and we ask that you share our information, as we do hope it's helpful for your audience. And if you ever have any feedback on the type of content we share or any suggestions, feel free to reach out to me at that email address, socialmedia@choosework.ssa.gov. And I hope I will see some of you online tomorrow at 3 o'clock for our WISE webinar, which you can register at choosework.ssa.gov/WISE. Thank you all for your time, and I will hand it back over to Adele.
Thanks, Jamie. I appreciate all that information. And I was just saying, I think you beat Rob in talking, so kudos to you on that.
Sorry about that, everyone.
It's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
All right. So, again, lots of valuable information on our call today, and I'm sure we have a few questions in the chat already, or in our question chat, should I call it, rephrase it. But, Justin, if you can help us out, and see if any folks have questions that we can address.
I'll be happy to. If you would like to signal with questions, please press *1, your touch-tone telephone. If you're joining us today using a speakerphone, please make sure mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that will be *1 if you would like to ask questions on the phone, *1.
Wonderful. And while you're compiling that, Justin, what we will do here, we have questions on our screen that have been asked, so we're going to go back and forth from folks on the phone and the chat questions that we have here. Okay. So again, thank you everyone for submitting questions. And let's see, is there a particular one we'd love to address here? Well, we're waiting for folks on the phone.
So question 10 looks like a question in regards to the legislative proposal.
Okay.
And what we can do is maybe share the links to the language that's included.
Okay.
So that folks can take a look at it. So as a follow-up item, if that's okay.
Okay.
I will send that over.
We thank Kathy for that question, and it looks like what we're going to do is that we're going to actually put some information
for
that?
To be honest, right now, we don't know what it means for ENs. This is at the very, very, very early stages. I can't emphasize that enough. And assuming, again, that some kind of legislative passage would have to occur in Congress and be signed by the president in order to effectuate some of this or all of it. So, we're at the very early stages, and we really, there's a lot of information that we don't know, and we'll have to sort of work to get sorted out.
Okay, well, almost like we said at the beginning, 2020, new year, different changes.
Mm-hmm. Well, this would be 2021, so even further in the, so.
So we have indicated that we will provide further, so thank you, Kathy, for that question. Justin, do you have any from the phone queue?
We do. We have Sabrina Stamps with Self-Efficiency Through Employment.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Hi.
Can you hear me? Hi.
Yes.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great. Actually, I have two questions. The first one, I kind of came in on the end of it, and I wanted to make sure I heard correctly. Are you stating that all ENs are going to be assigned a new DUNS number? Did I miss something in that translation?
Okay. Help me out again. I'm sorry.
I heard something about a new DUNS number for ENs. And as far as the IWPs are concerned, is that something that is applicable to existing ENs, or is that for new ENs coming in as far as the formatting is concerned on the IWP?
Hi, Sabrina. It's Kara. How are you doing? If you're right now you are a traditional EN, so if you decided you wanted to also be an administrative EN or an employer EN, it's only for that. So you would go ahead and get another DUNS and all that. But I don't think you are doing that, correct?
No.
So this doesn't apply to you at all.
Okay, great. I just wanted to make sure I understood that. Second question is, I'm having a concern with new consumers that are coming on or signing up just with employment networks in general, and maybe someone out there can help me out with this. Most of them, as I guess would be normal, are very concerned about getting past the trial work period into SGA, and they're very concerned about losing their benefits. How do you encourage a consumer to get past that trial work period and to continue working so that they can reach SGA? Because many of them are I don't want to lose my benefits, and when should I stop, or when should I drop down so that I don't lose my benefits?
So I'll take a stab at that one, and then folks, that's a great question, by the way. Are you in contact with your local WIPA organization?
I have been in contact with them, and normally what I do for consumers that I find this is a real issue for them, I will refer them over to a WIPA so that they can get a more detailed, overview of where they stand and, what that looks like for them in terms of their benefits. But it's a real concern out there in this environment, and it kind of puts us in an awkward position because, our goal is to, of course, get them working and then to continue to work and to reach SGA. But on the other hand, on a human level, you understand that they're afraid that if they go so far and something should happen, what's going to happen to them, they're going to lose their benefits. So, it's kind of like you're caught in the middle, and I want to say the right thing so that it's encouraging and it doesn't discourage them from wanting to go further in their employment needs. So I thought maybe someone out there could possibly help me, and maybe verbiage that I can use.
So I would definitely, I'm sure the colleagues on the phone can, have some best practices and so forth that they can share. I would encourage, one thing that we've tried to do is encourage EN organizations to participate in our various training programs for benefits counseling that we offer through our Virginia Commonwealth University contractor. And I don't know if, Adele, we have a link that we have readily available for their website, but their website is kind of like it's a public-facing website that provides an array of materials to help folks have that discussion about how earnings impact benefits. But, you know, there's different levels to this. So there's everything from sort of a cursory tool to help folks, you know, service providers get their feet wet to actually getting into the queue and getting training. We do offer training based on capacity through VCU at various locations around the country, and I would encourage you to consider you have to travel to the location, but you can get certified for free. Of course, you need to sort of stay on top of that and make sure that you're keeping up with the requirements to maintain your certification. But we do work with VCU to communicate about the availability of that training. Connecting your client to benefits counseling is going to be probably the best way to inform them about these issues. And it is an important conversation that has to happen, and you need to have that happen with folks that have the necessary training and expertise so that the information that your client is getting is accurate or as accurate as possible. So that's the importance of the WIPA piece. But I know different WIPA projects have capacity issues as well, and that's why we've been encouraging ENs to try to get that training or have their staff within their organization to get that training if possible. And I don't know if anybody else in the room wants to weigh in on that.
Is that the VCU link that you want us to make
available for training? For the training, if we have it.
The Maximus website has the upcoming training as well. The Your Ticket to Work website, has upcoming training.
We sent all of that information in the latest newsletter, which was sent a week or two ago, with all the information about the VCU.
Yeah, but I would stress again, Sabrina, it's really a good idea for ENs to go through the VCU training, and the only cost is your travel. But there may be one that's, I don't remember the exact sites off the top of my head, but there might be one that is close to you.
There's one that is
online. Right, and you can do the introductory one online, but that's not the full, that doesn't make you an expert, but it gives you
the basics.
Yeah, I would encourage anyone to do the introductory one.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Appreciate
and this
that.
Is Jamie. I just wanted to add to that during our WISE presentations and in a lot of our materials, we address this question. So if you'd like to see how Choose Work handles it and how we talk to our audiences about this fear of losing benefits, I'd encourage you to check out a WISE or take a look at some of our blog posts on choosework.ssa.gov.
And there's a WISE right, Jamie?
There is a WISE event tomorrow at 3 o'clock, and you can register at choosework.ssa.gov/WISE.
Hi, this
good.
Is Lori York.
Thank you so much.
Okay. I think the person just dropped, but I did want to echo what Jamie said. We have a lot of good information that pertains to how to message that particular concept of beneficiaries on the Choose Work website.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that. Let's see, Justin, do we have any others on the phone?
We do.
Okay.
Next will be Linda Sullivan.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi, Linda.
My question is, why is SSA telling my beneficiaries that pay stubs are no longer needed?
So we'd like to know who is saying that. Is that coming from a field office or somebody within our
I believe a field office. It must be the local field office, but I've had three different beneficiaries that are not providing me the pay stubs because the local or the field office is telling them that the pay stubs are no longer needed, and I need the pay stubs in order to make a payment request. So this has been going on probably for the past year and is creating issues for me. And, you know, it continues to happen. They're telling my beneficiaries that they don't need the pay stubs, so they're throwing them away.
Good afternoon. This is Patrice. We understand that there might be a conflicting message that your beneficiary is receiving, but we do want to remind you to still encourage your ticket holders to report their wages. It is their responsibility, especially for a start or stop or change in employment and earnings. And for ticket to work purposes, which is probably not the perspective that the field office was coming from, for ticket to work purposes, we still want them to report their wages and their earnings to the field office. If the field office is refusing, they can still send that information over to you. So I understand that you might be getting a conflicting message, but our process has not changed. We still do want to receive the pay stubs from your working beneficiaries, and we'll continue to work with our peers and operations to make sure that we're sending the same message across the board to our service providers and to beneficiaries.
And I'll add to that this sort of carries back over to what we're hoping to achieve by creating a link for communication and a communication plan with operations so we can connect with them directly and share these issues and get some guidance directly from them about, you know, what our instructions should be or what we would like for their folks to know or say about the program or whatever the case may be.
Right, because the Ticket to Work program is a Social Security program. People get confused. They don't know what Social Security needs and what the Ticket to Work program needs. And it's a battle. It's a battle to try to convince them that, yes, I still need them for the Ticket to Work program. So
yeah.
Anything you can do to help me with that would be greatly appreciated.
But if you could send that into Ian Service, because we would also need to know which field office this is to communicate to operations and headquarters, because they will be the ones to reach out to them. We don't reach out to the field offices directly.
Okay, so I can send an email to EN Systems Help at your...
EN Service at SSA.gov.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, thank you for that. There is a question. Is the Employment Support Summit, Nina? So I believe there are...
No.
Okay.
So the Employment Support Summit was an SSA event held last summer for a select group of participants. We had to keep it limited just for capacity purposes. And it was a two-day event held in Baltimore with Employment Networks, Vocational Rehabilitation, WIPA projects. We had a PABS representative and federal partners to talk about you know, employment support programs and essentially the keys to improving the what we were calling the life cycles for a person going through the process of participating in the ticket program from the point of assigning a ticket to receiving services to going back to work and then ultimately, exiting the roles. So the summary report will contain information around those topics that we discussed and will hopefully be a tool that Employment Network and BR service providers can use moving forward. Thanks for the question.
Thanks for that, Rob.
Okay. There is also a question about updating your benefits counselor information. So you need to send your current certificate to enservice@ssa.gov, and if it's one of the organizations that we approve to be a trainer and your certification is up to date, we will then put it on the website.
Okay, I think that question was from Lauren Parker. How do we have our benefits counselor information updated on our ChooseWork EN listing? Okay, thank you for that. Justin, are there any questions on the phone?
There are. We have a question from Stephen Geekery with SKG Career Services.
Yeah, hi, this is Steve. You know, I've been involved in this program for 12 years now, and regarding pay stubs, it just seems to be, you know, an issue that's been going on for a long time. And I do my best, and I've changed my tact over the years in terms of trying to prepare people up front in the preliminary meetings to understand that this is a long-term program, and they have that responsibility to do that. In spite of that, for example, I have at least one or two people that I know that I've kept in contact with that have not provided me any pay stubs for the entire year of 2019. So you get down to the point where, okay, well, I'm going to call your employer, I'm going to get them from your employer. I'd rather not do that. So in any case, if someone is I know they're working, I know I'm talking to them, but they're not giving me any pay stubs, should I be reporting this to someone?
This is Patrice. No, there's no one you should report that to. I mean, thank you for making us aware, but there's only so much you can do to ask and require the ticket holders to send you their pay stubs. As long as you, for payment reasons, are able to prove the relationship that you have with that individual, you have proof of relationship form, it should be fine that you don't have the pay stubs, and we appreciate your continued attempts to obtain them.
Yeah, because what happens is after a while, you know, 2-3 years, you know, they say, well, they stopped sending me benefits. I'm no longer getting benefits. You know, the story is, why should I report anything? And, you know, that's kind of like, you know, the theme that comes out after a while. They're just not, you know, very engaged in doing this. I mean, so anyway.
Yeah, we understand. You can't force someone to do something that they're not going to want to do. So we do appreciate your efforts to obtain them, but where that's not possible, we do understand.
Yeah.
You know.
So just try to continue to keep a communication door open with these people. Is that really what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And document your attempts
that.
To obtain pay stubs and
okay.
to maintain a relationship with those individuals.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Steve. Justin, we have more on the phone?
We do. John Duplessis with Self-Sufficiency Through Employment. Go ahead, sir, with your questions.
Okay, how you guys doing today?
Hi, John. We're good. Can you hear us okay, John?
Can you hear me?
Now we can. What is your question today, John?
Again, John, your line is open. Go ahead, please. Again, John, your line is open. Please go ahead with your questions.
Okay, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Can you hear me? Hello?
There you go. It sounds like you're breaking in and out. Are you on your cellular device?
I'm actually on my on the telephone landline phone. Hold on one second. Can you hear me now?
Let's go for it. Let's see. What is your question?
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Yes, we can still hear you. Please go ahead with your question.
Okay. My question is that my partner came in, and I think there was a misunderstanding on what she was asking in terms of us having consumers that credit to losing their benefits and so forth. We have been in the Employment Network for over 10 years, and I think that question was misunderstood. We normally, when we have consumers like that, we would direct them to a CWIC or an AWIC and so forth. Not only that, though, but we have been in the Employment Network over 10 years, so we do have a knowledge of various type of services and information that we would give them to help them to better understand how their benefits work and when they're working and how they're affected. Did you hear me?
Yes. Well,
okay.
Thank you.
I just want to get that clarified that, you know, that we do have knowledge of how to assist those consumers. And when we have situations such as someone who is afraid to losing their benefits and so forth.
All right, I appreciate that.
Okay, I just want to get that clarified. See, I didn't want to make it seem as though that we did not have knowledge of any of the information, but we do have knowledge of that information, and that we have been employment at work for over 10 years, and we're on every call that they have, basically, in training as well as in the conference calls.
All right.
Okay,
appreciate
thank
that.
You. Mm-hmm.
No problem. All right, Justin?
There are no further questions at this time, but once again, if you would like to ask questions, please press star 1. Again, that's star 1.
Okay, thanks. We're going to look over and see if we have any from the chat. John, are there any that you have that you want to bring out from the chat?
No, if you just wanted to start in order, we can go ahead and knock those out, and I'll type the responses as they're answered verbally.
Okay, well, let's go with the first one.
All right, so that first question is, please enable ENs to view if a participant assigned to us is a Title II or Title 16 beneficiary. We as an EN need to first be denied, then call SSA Payments Help Desk for title determination, so we know whether or not they earned enough for Phase 1 Milestone 1 under each earning calculation method. Thank you.
This is Adele. I think it's not something that we do because we're protecting their privacy. So it's not information that we're able to disclose. And what I would suggest is that definitely in your interview, your opening meeting with them, that you try and get that information from your client that way. That would be my recommendation for that. If anybody else wants to chime in, we appreciate the question. We understand. And that's why it is so important for those relationships to be built in the beginning with your clients. All right, thank you, John.
All right, and then our next question is, that's the same question. Our next question is, our ticket holders received notice about on assignment, which caused panic. Our beneficiary is going to get notices about on assignment. Was this an error? Should we be alerting beneficiaries about getting this notice?
Okay, I want to better understand the question. Let me make sure. I'm just going to repeat it to make sure that I heard it correctly. Our ticket holders receive a notice about unassignment, which causes panic. Our beneficiary is going to get notices about unassignment, and if that was an error. It sounds like it's probably a specific case. The beneficiaries are definitely always alerted when their ticket is unassigned. So I know that's Amy asking the question from Full Circle. So to our knowledge, there isn't anything that has happened, any type of glitches or anything like that. Maybe you can, should Amy contact us to make sure about specific cases?
And Amy did just add clarification that this is about a second DUNS number.
Oh.
Hi, this is Katie Stravinger. I can speak to that one. In order to move the tickets from one DUNS number to another DUNS number, we're manipulating the ticket records. Your beneficiaries and all beneficiaries of this effect should not be receiving notices. We'll double check the business process to make sure that that is happening, but no beneficiary should receive a notice. And if they did receive an unassignment notice, they should have been followed with an assignment notice showing that they are once again reassigned the day after to the new DUNS with the same name. So we'll go back and double check that the business process is locked down so this doesn't happen in the future, but that looks like it was a mistake. This is not the business process going forward. It should be seamless to the beneficiary.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, Katie, and thank you, Amy, for that question and for bringing that to our attention. Before I go to the next chat question, Dustin, were there any on the phone?
Yes, there is. We have a question from Paula Violet with Employment Options.
Hi. I'm so incredible. I'm impressed with all the news. I was hoping to hear a little bit about timely progress, if how that's going to work. Is there enough Social Security personnel to do this and just how it's going to affect our clients?
Hi, Paula. Thank you for your question. Yes, there was a lot of information here today.
Hi, this is Katie Scharbinger. I can speak to that a little bit. We did a pilot. We selected about 500 cases over 10 weeks at this point, and we are evaluating the results of that, and we'll keep you posted as we go forward with the selections if we end up, you know, increasing the number to a larger amount at this point. But right now we are staying steady, and at this point, you know, we'll keep you updated with our communications, but at this point there is nothing to update you on.
Okay.
Thanks, Paula.
Thank you.
Justin, any others on the phone line?
Yes. Ruthina Hensley with Advantage Services.
Hello. My question is, I want to become a benefit specialist planner for the company that I work for. How would I be able to do that? And then...
So you would need to go through benefits counseling training, and we don't tell you who to go through. There's three organizations that we are good with, but the only one that Social Security has vetted is VCU because they are our contractor. So through them, it's on what we were talking about earlier. It's on our website. It's on the Your Ticket to Work website. You can go to one of their trainings. All the information is there. The training is free. ENs get preferential space treatment after our WIPAs. And it's, like I said, it's free, and your only expense is your travel expenses if it isn't in your area.
Thank you very much.
Welcome. All right. Justin, before I go to the chat, any of those on the phone?
Yes. Our next question comes from Stephen Lambert with CareerSource, Southwest Florida.
Can you hear me?
We can. Yes. Thank you.
Oh, great. Wonderful. Okay. Good afternoon. I had one quick question. I have I've had a couple of participants who were self-employed, and I understand that can be difficult. And when I talked to Maximus about it, the best suggestion they had was to wait for the IRS for their tax filings with the IRS. Would you happen to know when I would be able to make ticket claims then?
Thank you for your question. Just conferring a little bit to make sure that we give you an appropriate response. I would do it. I would wait till after April. That's usually about when we get the file for the year before, and you can start requesting milestones at that time. If you are on ePay, your outcomes would be automatic once we have confirmation from the IRS, but I don't think we generally get the file until about April.
Okay. So, great. That answers my question. Thank you.
Thank you for that question.
And next will be Amy Walsh with Full Circle Employment Solutions.
Hi, Amy.
Sorry, I was on mute, but you guys answered my question. It was about Second Done. Thank you.
All right. Awesome.
And at this time, there are no...
All right, thanks. I can see a few questions about BPQY in the chat. Let me see if I can read that. I should have brought the proper glasses today for that. Can a beneficiary obtain a BPQY from their local SSA office immediately? I wonder if the key word there is immediately. This is from Lauren Womack.
I mean... Generally, yes, but it depends on staffing and workloads and a variety of things going on. You know, different offices throughout the country are experiencing different traffic rates and folks coming in. What I would just remind, you know, folks on the phone is that, you know, as you know, but it's a little hard for us to remember sometimes, is that these field offices are handling everything that you can imagine their clients are asking for pertaining to Social Security issues, replacement Social Security cards and retirement information, and the list is endless. So the return to work things are just a segment in a big, big portfolio of activities. But we're hoping to get the changes made to the Your Ticket to Work website so that service providers can go in and access regional contacts with area work incentive coordinators to try to reach out and contact them and ask them questions like these. So when we get an update on that, we will pass that along to you and let you know.
Thank you, Rob. I see I have a question here. How do you generate payments if you're not receiving pay stubs? And how would you verify the person is on trial work level or SGA? This is looks like Katie's asking this question, Katie McCartney from Community Mental Health Center.
This is Katie Steinberger. I want to, you know, direct you to the EM Payments Help Desk because it sounds like you need some very basic, you know, payments questions answered, and I would want to lead you to our team of experts. You can either send an email to the EM Payments Help Desk at yourtickettowork.com or call the phone number.
Yourtickettowork.ssa.gov.
We'll make sure we post it on the screen, both the phone number and the email address, because we have gotten a couple of payments-related questions. Just as a reminder, we try not to answer specific EM payments questions on this call because we do have an EM payments call.
That's right.
For all of your payments questions. But until that call happens, I would recommend giving your questions to the help desk so you can get someone, an expert, to help you with your question.
And also, if it's not specific questions and you're just confused about payments, you can always get a refresher payments training course from Maximus. You can always request that.
Thank you. Justin, how do we look on the phone?
At this time, there are no additional questions, but again, star one if you would like to ask phone questions. We'll pause for just a moment.
Okay.
Nothing further at this time on the phones.
Thanks for checking. Rob, it looks like someone missed a little bit of the proposal to revise. And I'm not sure if that was quoted correctly, but I'm just going to read this as it's here. It says, hi, I missed part of Rob's discussion on the proposal to revise SSDI on work incentives. Can someone repeat that, please? So I'm not sure if they captured that correctly. And that's Tripp from Employee Reward Solutions. Just want a little recap on that.
Okay. Yeah, we will share a link that will tie folks and let them go into the proposal itself and read the language. But just very briefly, the 2021, which would account for October 1st of this year through September 30th of next year, the budget proposal submitted by the president, which includes a lot of requests, also has a proposal to transfer the Ticket to Work program to the Department of Labor's Employment Training Administration, ETA. And it directs the Office of Disability Employment Policy at Department of Labor, ODEP, to provide policy analysis and guidance on the transfer. So that's it in a synopsis. We don't have a lot of information at this time, and as we get more information, we will share it with you. For now, it is business as usual, and we are continuing to move forward with all of our services and supports, and the program will remain as is until we get some additional information, if and or when we get additional information that we can share.
Okay, thanks for that, Rob. There is a question. When is the EN payments call? So just a plug for that. The next EN payments call looks like it will be on April 28th. And just for future reference, it's usually the last Tuesday, and we have those quarterly. So April, July, and October are what we have on the calendar for now for the All-EM payments call. Any questions on the phone, Justin?
Not at this time.
Okay. Let's see if we have any chat questions that we want to address. John, are any of them sticking out to you?
Absolutely. Our next question comes from Lauren Womack, who asks, what kind of questions can an AWIC answer for beneficiaries?
So the AWIC is kind of the ticket to work program expert in the field, in a local operations area, and can be sort of like a conduit for things such as obtaining a benefits planning query and answering questions pertaining to work incentives and ticket to work program related topics. That's it in a nutshell, I think. What, does anybody have any other thoughts on that?
Okay, thank you for that. Okay, we still have a few minutes that we can cover. If by chance, I just want to make a note, if by chance we do not address your question, we do have your questions with your contact information, and we can certainly get back with you if you haven't heard us respond to your questions here. So I did not want anybody to worry about that, so rest assured with that. Any questions on the phone, Justin?
There are no further phone questions at this time.
Okay, there is a question about what are the ticket portal hours? And well, I'm assuming that the ticket portal hours is our help desk. Our help desk hours are for, I just want to make sure, Linda, is there any way that you could probably chime in? I just want to make sure that I answer that correctly. Is it the portal, like when you access the portal to use it, or are you talking about the help desk, those hours for us to assist you with any questions that you may have regarding payments or the portal?
The portal itself has,
you can, okay, I can read off the hours. The tickets portal is available Monday through Saturday, 5 a.m. through 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and Sunday, 8 a.m. through 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The portal does go down sometimes because it relies on a lot of SSA architecture, like the MySSA website that we use to log in. So sometimes some other piece might go down and the portal might be unavailable temporarily. They'll post like a splash page saying it's currently unavailable. We don't usually get notification about something like that when it's a short period of time. So do try back if you get a message saying it's currently unavailable. But it does have standard hours Monday through Saturday and then Sunday.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Katie. Okay. Justin, anything on the phone?
Yes, Linda Habar with Human Solutions.
Okay, and this will be our last question for this call. Oh, Linda, is that you?
Hi.
Okay.
Hi. I was just going to let you guys know, yeah, that's the information I wanted to know, the hours, because sometimes I can get in like at 8 o'clock my time, sometimes I can get in at 10. It just wasn't consistent, but now I know.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for helping us out with that. And I think that's a No worries. That's a great note to end this call on. Again, thanks, everyone, for helping us out with our new platform, and I hope it worked out for all. And again, we'll be sure to answer those questions that we have not had a chance to respond to here. And I will remind everyone that our next call, our next OEN call, I'm looking up here, is May 19th is our next OEN call. So thanks, everyone.
It'll almost be summer.
That is right. Again, everyone, thanks for joining us and for helping us out, and you have a great rest of the day.
Well, thank you. That does conclude today's conference. We do thank you for your participation. Have a wonderful day.